This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum. Imam Jihad told you to come to Crenshaw Slauson, but he didn't tell you what color to wear. He set you all up. What do they wear when they go to LA?
They have nothing to worry about.
Any color?
We got your back.
Okay, okay.
Come on.
Okay, bismillah.
Don't wear red.
Oh, okay. Okay. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallim sallim kathir, ashadu la ilaha illallah, ahdahu la sharika lah, wa ashadu muhammad abdul rasuluh, salatu rabbi salamu alayhi. Okay, so that was a very hard act to follow, inshallah ta'ala, but I'm going to do my best. There was a companion whose name was Hanzala. And Hanzala came to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he said to him, I feel like I'm a hypocrite. Abu Bakr said, why? This is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, I feel like I'm a hypocrite. And then he says to him, because when I'm with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel such high iman. I feel like I'm so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when I go home and I'm amongst my family, I feel completely different. Abu Bakr says to him, I feel the same way. So why don't we both go and ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is Abu Bakr, the greatest companion, the greatest man to walk on the face of the earth after the Prophet's period. Out of every ummah, Abu Bakr is the best. And yet Abu Bakr is saying to Hanzala, a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I feel like you feel. Sometimes I feel like Hanzala said, a hypocrite. And so they go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them, if you stayed all the time, like when you're with me, the angels would shake your hands in the streets of Medina. But it's this at times, and sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's like this, and sometimes it's like that. Your iman goes up and your iman goes down. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu is knocking on the door of Hudhayfa ibn Yaman, Hudhayfa, to ask him whether the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named him as a hypocrite. After everything that Umar radiallahu anhu did, all of his sacrifice for Islam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam marrying his daughter, and yet Umar radiallahu anhu still has that question that he needs answered. Asammani fihim, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam name me amongst the hypocrites? And so this question of imposter syndrome, do I feel like I am sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is actually a question that every believer asks. And that is something that every believer engages in. Sufyan al-Thawri, he says, this great imam, this man had a madhab. This man was the first man to be called Amir al-Mu'mineen in hadith. He says, I never dealt with anything that was stronger, more difficult than my intention. Why? Because it's always changing. I never know. Even right now, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why did I come all the way over here and lecture? Why am I doing that? It's always changing. Am I doing it for the handshakes outside? Am I doing it for clout? Am I doing it? The believer is always questioning their intention. And the hypocrite never questions theirs. And so this question of feeling inadequate, this question of feeling insincere, is actually a healthy diagnosis that the believer is always required to do. You're always questioning why you are doing things. And you're hoping that at the end of the day, why you are doing it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you're always analyzing, you're always critiquing, you're always questioning, you're always tweaking your intention. You're always asking yourself that question. Now, shaitan wants you to feel like you're not worthy. Shaitan would love nothing more than for you to go home and not act because you don't feel like you are righteous enough. In fact, I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, I don't feel comfortable praying. Why don't I feel comfortable praying? Because of what I know of my sins. I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. And I don't pray just because of what I know of my sins. We are taught by the Prophet ﷺ to make a really beautiful dua. For everybody who's ever come to you and complained to you about that, there's a dua that I want you to know. It is a dua that we are taught to make by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when you are entering into the salah. What is this dua? He says, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayn khatayai kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wal-maghrib. Oh Allah, distance me from my sins like you've distanced between the east and the west. When I'm entering into the salah, those same sins that I feel like they are a barrier between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm too shy to stand in front of Allah, I don't even want to pray because of these sins, you enter into the salah and you say, oh Allah, distance me from my sins like you've distanced between the east and the west. Oh Allah, cleanse me of my sins like a white garment is cleansed from filth. Oh Allah, bathe me of my sins with water and hail and ice. You know what's interesting? Is that when you're told to make that dua, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cleanse you of your sins with ice, with cold. When you have gum on your shirt, do you wash it off with cold water or hot water? Who says cold here? Who's team cold? Who says hot? It's nice. Who says my mom does it for me still? Okay, that's the majority, okay? Imam Jihad said ice, you use ice. Why do you use ice? When something is sticky, you use ice. And so here's the question. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching you to tell you that when your sins are being cleansed, you're asking Allah to use snow and ice, it is because sins are sticky. And so you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove it with ice. Also, the scholars mentioned something beautiful and they said, because sins have a heat to them. And so you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cool that which is in your breast. We are not the first people to ever feel inadequate. Musa alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him and he says, go to Fir'aun, he says, my Lord, إِنَّ أَخِيَ هَارُونَ أَفْصَحُ مِنِّي لِسَانًا. My brother Harun is more eloquent than me. So send him along with me. Musa alayhi salam is known as the prophet who has a speech impediment. But Musa, who is the prophet who had a speech impediment, is the prophet that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to. And so when Musa alayhi salam is mentioned, he is mentioned as the kaleem of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not mentioned as the prophet who had an impediment in his speech. Your sense of inadequacy or your sense of insecurity may be the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. That brother with the face tats who's praying in his masjid, the fact that he went through that fire and he came to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might have him levels above everybody else who's coming and did not go through turmoil and did not go through pain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them an easy path to him. Parents who are righteous, a community that is righteous, Islamic school, that brother and sister who came out of the mud, that brother and sister who came out of the dirt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows their journey. And so we know and we appreciate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has required from all of us to act in the capacity that we have. A couple of quick points that I want to leave you with. Number one is that a person should never feel inadequate in sharing what they know. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us all, every single one of us, an instruction. He said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. He says, narrate from me, teach from me. Every single one of us, yes. Even if it's a single verse. Every single one of us is supposed to be a da'i in our capacity of what we have access to of knowledge. Even if all I know is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ, let me share قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ with others. If all I know is Surah Al-Fatiha, let me share Surah Al-Fatiha with others. You know from the early seerah that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu accepted Islam, and the next thing he did was he brought 6 of the 10 who were promised paradise, he brought them to Islam, he brought them to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did Abu Bakr at that time know Surah Al-Baqarah? No, it wasn't revealed. Did Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu know the details of Surah Al-Nisa? No, it wasn't revealed. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu simply knew, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, that's good enough. I can go and I can communicate that to these brothers, and he brought them to Islam. You don't need to know the knowledge of a scholar to be able to call people to La ilaha illallah. But there's an important but here, and that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, narrate from me, even if it's a single verse. And the hadith continues, he says, and narrate, وَحَدِّثُ عَن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ وَلَا حَرَجْ, and narrate from the stories of the children of Israel, Judeo-Christian sources, there's no problem with that. And then he says, وَمَنْ كَذَبَ عَلَيَّ مُتَعَمِّدًا فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدُهُ مِنَ النَّارِ, and whoever lies about me intentionally, then let them secure their seat in the hellfire. You know what that means? It means narrate about me, even if it's a single verse, but don't lie. Don't jeopardize the information that you're communicating about me because your ego's got involved and somebody now thinks that you're a sheikh and they're like, sheikh, or brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so, I have a question. And you're like, oh, I'm excited. But I'm going to pretend like, yes, okay, sister, what's your question? And then they ask you something that you don't know. And you don't know. But they're looking at you and they're expecting an answer. And so you say, you know, I'm not sure, but I think. You know that I think? Put that back in your pocket. And get used to saying, I don't know. You know the ulama, they used to teach their students to say, I don't know. Say it with me. I don't know. How many languages can we say I don't know in? How do you say I don't know in Urdu? Okay, whatever that was, yes. Okay? Whatever that was, yes. Let's say it in Arabic. La adri. How do we say it in ma ba'arafshi? Yeah, that's Egyptian, brother. That's Egyptian. You can keep that. What other languages do we have? Yes, sir?
Spanish.
No?
No say.
Yo no say. He's so passionate about it. Let's say yo no say together. That's it. As long as, this is the rule, guys. I need you to know this rule and I need you to implement this rule and teach it to others. As long as you communicate what you know and you say, I don't know about what you don't know, you'll always be okay. The problem becomes when people start to teach what they know. And then they decide that they want to go up a level that they don't have. Whether it's on social media, whether it's in person, as long as you learned, Abdullah ibn Umar, a man came to him and he said, asked him a question, and he said, I don't know. And then when the man left, Abdullah ibn Umar was so excited, he said, Ibn Umar was asked about a question that he doesn't know, and he said, I don't know. He was excited about that. Because he conquered his ego. And so learning to say you don't know. And yes, there comes times in all of our communities, being young and active, even if it's in your capacity as in high school or in college or whatever, where people are going to come to you and they're going to ask you for information. So you be comfortable saying, I don't know this, or I'm not qualified to teach it. I had one friend of mine, he was a young hafiz kid. And so being a hafiz, he started to get a lot of social cachet back in the day. And a masjid asked him to teach the fiqh of transactions. And he had no clue about the fiqh of transactions. So he called up his sheikh and he said, Sheikh, can you teach me the fiqh of transactions? He said, why do you want to learn the fiqh of transactions? He said, because a masjid invited me to teach the fiqh of transactions and I don't know the fiqh of transactions. So can you teach me? He said, you agreed to teach something that you don't know? I am not going to teach you anything. And you are going to go and you're going to apologize and you're not going to teach that. And so one of the ways that we resolve imposter syndrome also, this is point number Point number three is that you keep a mentor with you. You keep scholars around you. I have a favorite quote that I have by Amir Suleiman, a wonderful poet. He says, freedom is somewhere between the passion of the young and the patience of the old. This freedom that we're seeking now, all of these wonderful encampments, all of this energy, all of this action is beautiful and it is powered by the passion of the young, absolutely. But also take advantage of the experience of the old. Also take advantage of the knowledge of those who are senior to you. You know, I went to one encampment recently, I won't tell you which city, but the brothers had a flyer that they made. And they showed it to me. They said, we're distributing these flyers about Tawheed at the encampment. I said, I don't know if you want to distribute these flyers in the encampment or in prison, because that's where you're going to go if you distribute these flyers. The image and the militancy and the quotes that they had nothing to do with Tawheed. And I was like, if it's about Tawheed, why are you spreading all of this information? And they were like, you know what, Sheikh, this is a really good point that you made. I'm like, yes, it's a good point. But just the idea of consulting with scholarship, consulting with those who are older than you, consulting with those who are more experienced than you, and having mentors even as you're giving da'wah. Another brother, mashallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him, wonderful reciter of the Quran. He came up to me and he said, Sheikh, I was invited to go and recite at a particular event. And my mentor told me, he said, do not go, you are not ready. So what do you think, Sheikh? So what do you mean, what do I think? I'm just visiting, and you're telling me your day in, day out, murabbi, teacher, all of this type of stuff is telling you that you're not ready to go. Why are you asking me? He said, you know, just doing shura with multiple people. I'm like, you're not doing shura with multiple people. You're trying to get a different opinion than the one that your sheikh gave you, and my opinion is his opinion. There is a blessing to having access to teachers and working within what they think you're ready for. I gave my first khutbah after being given the green light by a brother who is senior to me. And he told me the night before, he said, I want you to give the khutbah. I think, to be honest, now looking back at it, he just wanted to get out of giving the khutbah. But it was my first khutbah. And I remember, like Imam Jihad mentioned, that panic of the first khutbah. I was in college, and I spent the entire night writing the khutbah. And I have it memorized. Until today, I have that khutbah memorized. I can give it anytime. Because I took a book and I wrote it out, the entire thing. I summarized it onto like 5 pages, and I went up, and I was giving the khutbah, and my voice was steady, but my hands were going like this. I was having an involuntary reaction, where people were looking at me, they were just going like this. And I felt like I wasn't qualified to do it, but a brother told me, you should go do it, and you can do it. And when I did it, Imam was making me remember beautiful memories, because he was saying that your boys need to be in the first row and they need to hype you up and stuff like that. And for a lot of us, the thing that suffocates our possibility is not the people online, it's not the trolls online, it's our own brothers and sisters around us who make us feel like, who do you think you are to be doing what you're doing? And so I got a call from one of my friends. And I answered, and this was the first response that I was giving on the khutbah that I gave. And he called me up and he said, Salaamu Alaikum. I said, Alaikum Salaam. He said, oh snap, was that Imam Siraj Wahaj today? And I was like, no. But he gave me such positive reinforcement. And he doesn't know, whatever I've given since then, Allah knows best, inshallah ta'ala, he's rewarded for that, because he supported me in a moment of self-doubt. And so the importance of supporting one another. There's a beautiful story, and not just supporting one another, but supporting those who are younger than you. Yes, you guys are looked at as youth, 18, 19, 20 years old. There might be someone who's 15 or 16 years old who you see incredible talent in. Do not stifle that talent. Encourage them, inspire them. You know, there's a famous Imam of the Haram. His name is Sheikh Yasir al-Dawsari. This guy's recitation is unbelievable. If you go on YouTube and you listen to Sheikh Yasir al-Dawsari's recitation, it's incredible. Do y'all know his story? Sheikh Yasir went to a military academy. He was going to be a soldier. He was going to be in the army. That was his journey. And when they had an event, an Islamic event, a sheikh came. And Sheikh Yasir is a practicing Muslim, but he's a soldier. That's what he's training to be. And so when he did the iftitah, he did the recitation, like our brother just did this beautiful recitation at the beginning. The sheikh did the recitation. He wasn't the sheikh at that time. It was just Yasir. But he does this beautiful, unbelievable recitation. And the sheikh says to Yasir, he says to him, this is the recitation of an Imam of the Haram. And that was the first time a seed was planted in his heart. He was so motivated by that statement of that sheikh that he switched his major, he studied Sharia, and went down that path of becoming a sheikh until he literally became the Imam of the Haram, someone who millions of people benefit from his recitation every single day. That is the result of a kind word, a word of encouragement that someone who was senior made to someone who was junior. I'm saying that our generation, we need to continue to encourage those who are younger, but you yourself develop the habit of encouraging those who are coming along behind you. The last thing that I'll mention is the self-worth and the confidence that everybody needs to have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you, and there's a wonderful person that I'll leave you with. This man's name was Dr. Abdurrahman al-Sumait. Dr. Abdurrahman al-Sumait is one of the giants of this ummah that most people have never heard of. He was a medical doctor by training. He went to Canada to train. He's from Kuwait. And when he became licensed, he decided that he was not going to go back to Kuwait to work there, even though he would have had a very comfortable life. Instead, he decided that he was going to go to sub-Saharan Africa, and he was going to treat people there, and he was going to give da'wah there too. This man spent the next 20 or 30, maybe even 40 years of his life going amongst the villages and tribes of the most impoverished places in Africa. This man was not a person who was supposed to be known. This man lived a very, very difficult life instead of a very comfortable life. But what was his legacy that he left behind? You can Google his name. You'll see that the amount of people who accepted Islam at his hands are over 3 million people. The amount of universities that he built were around less than 10, but around 8 or 9 universities. He built 4 hospitals. This man built dozens of schools, dug thousands of wells, distributed millions of musahif. This man, they called him a man who was equal to an ummah. What's my point here? Is that Imam, or Dr. Abdurrahman al-Sumait, he has a beautiful quote. When you watch his interviews, they're incredibly inspiring and funny. He talks about hilarious stories. But he says, I never used to ask Allah for a lighter load. I always used to ask Him for a stronger back. The thing that I want you to leave you with is, how can I feel like I'm an imposter if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts me in a circumstance? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected and chose me to be in a particular position, to be in a particular place for me to give what I have to give in a moment in time. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me that opportunity, then let me source my strength from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me source my tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and let me beg and implore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide my footsteps and accept my actions. And if I do that, not only will I not be an imposter, inshaAllah ta'ala, but I will be one of the sincere individuals who works upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His love and the love of those who He loves, and the love of actions that will garner us His love. Allahumma ameen wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, jazakumullah.